Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Hoo-wah! The Frontlines of Freedom team really appreciates you joining us this fine day in America. We are proud Americans. Well, here's what we have for you this hour. We're going to start by talking with Marine combat vet Ryan Purchase. Then Quentin Roberts will cover last weekend's Service Academy football games. And Gil and Skip will present the Marine Border End book. Of course, we'll conclude with military history and our self-defense report. It's a pleasure to introduce Ryan Purchase. He spent some time in combat working with snipers. Maybe protecting them is a better term. I guess it depends on who you talk to. Welcome to the show, Ryan. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, buddy. How are you?
Awesome. Tell us when and why you joined the Marines. What motivated you to do that, and what were you trained to do?
Yeah, I think so. Like many vets out there today, I was young when 9/11 had taken place. I had the unfortunate ability to go ahead and watch the planes hit the World Trade Center in middle school, like many, many other vets that I served with. So obviously, you know, there comes a time where you have a decision to make whether school's right for you or the military's right for you. And I always recalled that moment in my head over and over again, the way that made me feel as an individual. Also, growing up, I was a bit of a protector for those that could not protect themselves. So I recognized that at a very early age, being able to, you know, identify and protect special needs people or elderly people that weren't able to take care of themselves in many different fashions, not physically per se, but emotionally be able to make them feel like they were normal and allowing them to do that. So that's why I answered the call to join the military. I've always had it in my heart to serve others, to really try to serve those who really can't serve themselves. And in 2005, as soon as I graduated, I took off over to MCRD San Diego, and I was happy to join the ranks of the Marine Corps right then and there.
Was there anything special about the Marines, or did it just sound right? Just did you have any background?
So, yeah, like most jarheads, right? Like there is this idea of combat, and growing up watching all those, you know, war shows and things like that, the Marines were kind of always charging their way through the battle lines and going through, being the tip of that spear, as it's so often referred to. That was important to me. It really was. Not to mention, I will say, you know, I think all of us have a bit of craziness in us. I was looking for a reason to release that, and this gave me a way to do that.
Well, it sure did. So you went to California, my home state, and tried the Pacific Ocean. What did they train you to do?
Yeah, so I was actually really blessed. A lot of people wouldn't consider it to be blessed, but my very first duty station was out in 29 Palms, California. A lot of people got a stigma about 29 Palms. It was a base that was found inhabitable for the U.S. Army after it was produced. But what that leads Marines in 29 Palms to do is continually train. Not so much out of a lot of other geographical bases that we see, but 29 Palms is a constant training evolution for the Marines that are stationed there. So as I began my training there, I started off as a machine gunner in 0331. I really enjoyed my time as a machine gunner. And yeah, it's been mentioned by yourself and by several others. We worked closely with our sniper teams. We were constantly going in. We were a QRF team.
Define QRF.
A quick reaction force. So the idea was, when our smaller units got tied up and really pinned down, they would give us a call. To put it very, very simply, it was like a SWAT team for the Marine Corps. We basically would go in and handle some things that the unit that was currently engaged wasn't able to perform. So the training out in 29 Palms was phenomenal. A lot of people hated being stationed out there. I truly enjoyed it. And I think my platoon of guys, our company, our battalion, really enjoyed the training evolutions that, you know, a lot of other people had to travel great distances to get that training. And we were getting it, you know, 5 days a week, every week. And that led us into combat tour after combat tour after combat tour. So it was the end of 2005. We were deploying over to, at that time, Al Qaima, Iraq. And that would have been my first deployment.
And what was it like being deployed? You say you're basically a QRF. What kind of things did you find yourself, you and your team, doing?
So we were actually given a small patrol base, just my platoon, where we basically handled our own AO, our own area of operation. It was an area that previously was held by the United States Army, and then it had fallen again in OIF-3 during its time under the supervision of the Army. So the Marine Corps got sent back in to do some clearing, and then we also were to hold that battle position from there on out. As far as the QRF, what that entails, we would get calls to go help EOD, so our explosive ordnance teams, to set up, you know, security measures for them as they were going ahead and disarming or control detonating any of the IEDs that we would come across or the entire battalion would come across. We would also be responsible for inserting sniper teams into certain positions and basically holding down an AO. So it was a constant on the go type thing. You didn't know what you were doing any given day. It was just waiting for something to happen. And if we were in the middle of the patrol and we got a call with EOD, we would go ahead, break our patrol, head back to base, gather our belongings, get ready to go escort EOD or insert a sniper team or do something else. It was just nonstop all the time.
If you're going to be deployed, you sort of want that, don't you?
Yeah, it was a blessing. It seems like out of all the tours, our very first tour, which was actually our longest tour, because we had the privilege, I guess some would call it, of being extended. We do 7-month deployments. We ended up actually at that 7-month mark being told we were going to stay for an extra period of time over in country. But all that being said, the more busy you are, the less you have time to reflect on what's going on back here on the state side. Yes, sir.
Yep. I felt that way too during my deployments. Sitting around gazing at my navel or waiting for something to happen was not the kind of thing I wanted to do. I wanted to be doing something. So that makes sense. So you did that for a number of years. How many years?
Total of about 11 years in the Marine Corps.
Wow. When you got out, did you stay in the reserve?
I did not. Absolutely not. And it's nothing like absolutely not. I would never do such a thing. It was just time. It really was. My first few years were great years doing deployments. It got to the point where I became non-deployable. I actually had some back injuries that led me to a place where they said, hey, either A, you get out, or B, you're going to be a non-deployable Marine. And this was pretty early on back in 2010. And I had elected to say, hey, I think maybe getting out might be the answer. Getting out of the service right now might be the answer. But then I had a rare opportunity to go over to Quantico and serve an additional 6 years at Quantico, doing a number of tasks, but took part as a member of the Marine Corps 3-gun team where I shot competitively across the world. That went ahead and developed into a foreign weapons instructors program. I went ahead and became one of the master instructors for the program over there. I got to work hand in hand with the FBI ballistics lab over at Quantico and do a number of really cool, fun things there. Meanwhile, just really developing relationships that I wouldn't even think were possible today with some other combat vets, like-minded people that served at these roles and billets as well.
That's amazing. So your time was good for you, productive, and when you were done, you knew you were done. Is that a fair statement?
Yeah, I think it was in late 2015. They had announced, hey, they're doing a drawdown. Actually, I think the drawdown started in like 13 when President Obama said, you know, there's too many veterans out there. And we started hearing all these random statements about, hey, thank you for your service, but we're going to change service terms and it's time for y'all combat vets to kind of go away. We heard comments at that time along the lines of like, thank you for your service, but we don't need combat vets anymore. We don't need those self-taught thinkers we were talking about. We need individuals that will just very garrison-like individuals is what they basically wanted. Again, they wanted guys to follow orders perfectly to a T, and they wanted guys to make sure their uniforms were pressed and their sleeves were rolled correctly. And to be honest, a lot of us combat vets were not those guys.
I hear you.
So they wanted us to go away.
Ryan, we're out of time, but you got out. What are you doing now?
Yeah, so actually I run a 20,000 square foot sportsman's outfitter. I am a master shooting instructor up here in Michigan. I'm constantly on the range. We are primarily teaching individuals how to defend themselves here in the state of Michigan. In addition, bringing some of those military things, some of the school that I've been able to attend, such as the Federal Firearms Instructors Program, so on and so forth. We bring some of those tactical elements over to the civilian side of things. So okay. That's what we're doing as of today, sir.
If some listeners want to get in touch with you, how would they do that?
Yeah, you guys can always check us out at magnumsportsmi.com. We have a nice little online store there. Shoot me an email at ryan@magnumsportsmi.com. And I love just having general conversation. There's a lot more to this story, and I appreciate the time just to talk about my experience. But, you know, if you're having a hard time getting out of the service or anything like that, I tell you what, I hit the bottom of the endless pit at one point, just like many do. But getting out was arguably probably the hardest thing that ever took place.
I believe you. Ryan, thank you. Thanks for sharing with us today. Thank you for your service to our nation. Thanks for being a friend.
Dennis, I appreciate you, and I look forward to talking to you again, sir.
Next up, we'll talk football with Quentin Roberts. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. It's time to do some knee bends. Go halfway down, do about 40. Do this while thinking patriotic thoughts. I'll be right back. Friends, there's not too many things I enjoy more than helping veterans and eating great beef jerky. Now I can do both. My good friends at Tango3.org and America's Best Beef Jerky use the highest quality beef to make the best jerky I've ever tasted. Trust me, I've eaten a lot. But that's not all. They give 100% of the profit to vetted veterans programs, mental health and suicide prevention. Go to americasbestbeefjerky.com and order now. And at checkout, check the Frontlines of Freedom promo code. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Thanks for joining us today on Frontlines of Freedom. And it's Service Academy football time. And I'm joined, of course, by our football co-host, Air Force vet Quentin Roberts. Glad you're with us, Quentin.
Hey, Denny, it's always a pleasure. I look forward to it. And the football season is an exciting one. It's a different one. We are really seeing some changes, some major changes, as especially Army and Navy, you know, move to these new offenses. And the games just don't look like they used to. It's something different, and I'm sure the fans are feeling it too.
It's sort of hard to miss. I mean, it's substantial. And I guess we don't have to talk about Air Force since they had a bye last week. And Navy won, which is cool, 27-24 against North Texas. Talk about that game. That was a good one.
It was, Denny. I tell you what, congratulations to Coach Newberry and the Navy midshipmen, as they took away a hard-fought 27-24 victory, hosting the University of North Texas Mean Green. It was Navy who amassed 406 total yards, 331 of them on the ground. Senior quarterback Ty Levitai came off the bench to throw for 75 yards and a touchdown, while the defense recorded a school-record 8 sacks to lead Navy to a 27-24 victory over North Texas. Navy moved to 2-3 on the season and 1-2 in the American Athletic Conference. Coach Newberry said after the game, it's hard to win games, and we found a way to probably make that one a little bit more difficult than it should have been. Hats off to North Texas. Coach Morris has done an awesome job in taking over that program. I have a ton of respect for them. I thought they had a really good offense. To hold their guys at 24 points, Coach Volker did a good job with the game plan.
Yes, sir.
It was Coach Newberry, and I tell you, I couldn't have said it better. But Ty Levitai took over for Blake Horvath late in the second quarter and immediately led a touchdown drive. You know, Navy has been flip-flopping on their quarterbacks a little bit, trying to find that right secret sauce, and Horvath went down for the injury, so Levitai had to go in. You know, as a senior, it's someone you can rely on. And as a true leader, he came in, stepped up, and led his team to victory. So hats off to Ty Levitai and the Coach Newberry and the Navy midshipman team.
Yes, indeed. And the score was the same for Army, except Army was on the losing end of it, but they played well.
You know, Denny, again, games just look so very different now, because when everybody was running the option, it was truly that 3 yards in a cloud of dust, maybe a pitch here or there and, you know, a little counter here or there, quarterback run game, the fullback run game, and a pass was rare. Well, they're still not throwing it that much. However, they are trying to throw it a little bit more, but unfortunately, Army fell a little bit short to Boston College. Army fell to 2-3 on the season as they were defeated at home last week, 27-24 by Boston College. Army erased a 10-point halftime deficit of 13-3 to take its first lead of the game, 24-20 with 11:43 in the fourth quarter, and they had momentum on their side. Army scored touchdowns on each of its first 3 drives to start the second half. However, it was not enough to hold on to the comeback victory. Quarterback Bryson Daly rushed 99 yards and passed for 105 yards and a touchdown. But I tell you that, you know, they're in the Power 5 mix of the schedule right now. They'll get a break in their next game against Troy before going against the strong and talented LSU Tigers, those Bayou Bengals. But in the meantime, you know what, Army is, they're trying to, again, just like Navy, find that secret sauce to propel them to victories, especially in those close games.
Yep, and that's the challenge. That's why being a coach and a quarterback, let's just say, it's really challenging.
That's an understatement, Denny. It really is. As Coach Newberry said, it's tough to win football games out here. Now, nobody's just rolling over. And as they say, the other side's on scholarship, too. So it's some tough games.
Yes, sir. And Coast Guard was a Salve Regina.
Yes. Coast Guard fell to 3-3 as they fell to Salve Regina. But hopefully in their next game, which will they'll have a bye. And on October 21st, they will host Norwich for homecoming. So they can get healthy, get rested, take their exams, and be ready to roll against Norwich.
Indeed. Okay, and we have one more game, the Merchant Marine Academy.
That's right, Denny. The Merchant Marine Academy moved 4-1 as they rebounded from their first loss of the season and returned to their winning ways against Norwich, 28-21. They look to continue their winning ways when they host MIT on October 14th.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. We're talking Service Academy football with football co-host, Air Force vet Quentin Roberts. Now, this weekend, for Army, it's homecoming, and they are hosting Troy.
Yes, Denny. Troy is 4-2 on the season and favored by 4.5 against Army, who's 2-3. But, of course, we know never to count the Black Knights out in those lines. Well, they are for people who just aren't as smart as our Army Black Knights. But Troy is led by a running back, Kimani Vidal, who has a nation-leading 835 yards on the season, rushing at 139.2 yards a clip per game, which is the most by a Trojan since at least 2000 through the first six games of the season. Their last game was a 37-3 victory against Arkansas State. But again, Army is coming in, and they're starting to find that rhythm. You know, Bryson Daly has been leading them, getting better and better and better every week. They put up 27 points or 24 points against a Power 5 team, that being Boston College. And I look for Army to get back to their winning ways, continue scoring, and to continue finding that groove, that run-pass mix that's going to propel them to victory in their homecoming game.
I'm sure counting on that. Now, Navy's at Charlotte.
Yes, they are, Denny. The midshipmen at 2-3 are three-point favorites. When they face the Charlotte 49ers, the 49ers are 1-4 on the season. And it's going to be a tough game as Navy is coming off this victory against North Texas. They're looking to build upon that momentum. And University of North Carolina, Charlotte, they're struggling. They just lost 34-16 to SMU. And so Navy needs to just jump all over them and get their first road win of the season.
Indeed. And Air Force is hosting Wyoming.
They are. And what is another homecoming game? And I'll tell you, Denny, it's homecoming for my class, the class of 1988, also known as the best to date class, is having our 35th reunion this year. So I want to give a shout out to the class of 88 as the Falcons do host the Wyoming Cowboys. The Falcons' defense is stingy. They've only allowed 72.4 rushing yards a game and 153 passing yards a game. Wyoming won last year 17-14, even though Air Force is favored by 10.5 this year. Now, the Falcons are undefeated, and Wyoming is 5-1. So this will be a Mountain West Conference classic. On offense, Air Force has been as good as anyone, led by Zach Larrier, their speedy quarterback, as John Lee Eldridge has the nation's best yard per carry average. They're going to have to continue that to win against the Wyoming Cowboys, and they're going to have to take care of the ball because turnovers, of course, can make the difference. So look for the Falcons to prevail and go to 6-0 on this season.
I'll be cheering for them. As you already mentioned, Coast Guard has a bye next week, and Merchant Marine, you just said, is playing MIT.
Quentin, that's right, Denny. You're exactly right on that.
Quentin, thank you. We'll be back at it again next week, and we're going to see some good football again this week.
That's right, Denny. It's looking good. Like I said, we are in the throes of the season right now. And so, you know, everybody's a little banged up, a little sore, got a little this hurts, that hurts. So now is the time for teams to show that grit and toughness. And nobody has more of it than our Service Academy football team.
Amen. Coming up next on Frontlines of Freedom, Gil and Skip will present the Marine B&B. They'll cover our southern border and some good books. Then we'll open our weekly mailbag. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. Troops, it's time for one-arm push-ups. Just do a dozen with each arm twice. Then take a break, but stay in the area. I'll be right back.
HelpVet.net is here to help all veterans, active military, and families. HelpVet.net is a national help center helping the military community with their everyday needs. Whether you need a realtor, an attorney, discounted services, or information on retirement benefits, financial resources, and much more, our vast network of hand-picked qualified service providers are waiting to help you. With up-to-date military news and resources, you can find answers to all your needs at HelpVet.net. HelpVet.net. Never forget, never forgotten.
Friends, Adam here, Patriot Foods, U.S.-only company. Frozen fruits and vegetables straight from our dirt, not overseas. Support the U.S. farmer. When you shop at PatriotFoods.com, we give back to a military family in need. We got to take care of each other, my friends. We have to. So important. 10% off PatriotFoods.com. 10% off, promo code FREEDOM, and shop today.
Welcome back to Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Troops, I really do welcome your comments and questions. Contact me through frontlinesoffreedom.com or comment on Facebook. And now it's time for Marine B&B. Marine vet Gil Mazza, a retired border patrolman, will discuss our nation's southern border. Welcome, Gil.
Thank you. Good to be here.
And Marine vet and author Skip Coriel will discuss an interesting book. Skip, I can't welcome you. You've been here already.
I'm everywhere.
You are. Gil, you're up. The White House is saying so many different things about our border that it's hard to know what their story is now. And with what's going on in Israel, we should learn the lesson that borders are important. So let's go to the truth. Talk about what's going on there.
All right. Well, back in the 1980s, the greatest and most accurate Border Patrol-based movie of all time was released. Borderline with Charles Bronson, Wilford Brimley, and a young Ed Harris, right? And it had this tagline, somewhere along the southern border, the American dream has become a nightmare. And this sums up the current border situation perfectly, sir. The same agencies that were created to protect our homeland after the unthinkable 9/11 happened have now, under this administration and the leading of Secretary Mayorkas, facilitated the worst open border security breach in the history of the country. Right now, there are over 61,000 known special interest aliens released by DHS-CBP in the country that we know of. We have absolutely no way of knowing just how many gotaways of even worse designations have gotten through in an almost entirely cartel-controlled, unmanned, and unsecure border.
But other than that, Gil, things are okay, right?
Well, oh yeah, yeah. You know, we're having a great time, you know. But right now, almost all my fellow Border Patrol agents are alarmed about who we're releasing into the country because they're not given the resources or the time to vet illegals that are from special interest countries. As you know, a special interest alien is a term used to refer to people coming from countries that have conditions that favor or harbor terrorism or pose a potential national security threat to the U.S.
Does China fall into that category?
Yes, China does fall into that category for the most part, especially we're getting a lot of their ex-military coming in as well. Every law enforcement agency at the border is sounding the alarm at the top of their lungs about this catastrophic border security breach that we've had for 994 days now. But you'll be interested to know who isn't sounding the alarm, and that's the same agencies that were sworn to protect our country from illegal immigration and terrorist attacks, and that's DHS-CBP.
Wow. And given what's just going on in Israel, one would think that we want to be specially aware of terrorists who don't love America.
Ugh.
And apparently we've forgotten that or something.
Well, here's the thing, right? With everything going on right now in Ukraine, in Israel, and many other places, you would think that we would shut the border down so tight, right, that you couldn't even squeak a fart through it. But we all know what's going on. But instead, every one of DHS, CBP, and ICE social media posts is an aggressive attempt to gaslight America into a false sense of security. Here's the thing. An army isn't coming to the U.S. The army is already here, by special invitation of this administration. Spies used to have to sneak their way into the country. Now There's a government-sponsored app for that. Man, you don't even need a Trojan horse anymore.
No, and people who want to enter our country legally applying to get visas, they can't get them.
Never mind that, sir, because you can go through the border illegally in any section of the border. It's a 2,000-mile port of entry and get your work permits now. And they have to wait for that. Spend thousands of dollars in legal fees to get here legally. So there is no incentive.
Yeah. Why would you do that?
Why would you?
Because you're honest. That's the only reason.
Oh, yeah. And we don't want those people here. Absolutely not.
Yeah. Nobody that has our values or speaks our language or is concerned about making America a better place. We don't need them.
Yeah, I'll say this, gentlemen. It's starting to look like rain, so it's time to grab your guns and bring in the cat.
And my cat just nodded his head to agree with that. Gil, thank you. I appreciate that, even if you are a Marine.
Thank you.
Right?
This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom, but we're doing the Marine B&B with Gil and Skip. Okay, Skip, you're up. It's a book. What's your book today?
Well, Colonel, I thought we'd do something fun today. The last couple of months, we've been a little more serious, end of the world type stuff. So I picked a historical novel, a military novel called Operation Snare Drum, a World War II submarine adventure novel. And this was authored by a man named Scott W. Cook. It's a really good novel about, you know, submarines in World War II, you know, like the first 4 months of the war, not in the Pacific, but on the Atlantic coast, when the Nazis were on patrolling, you know, 50 miles off our eastern seaboard, sinking tonnage right off of our coast, and there appeared to be nothing we could do about it. So that's the backdrop of that. Let me just read the plot line here. December 7, 1941, America is attacked by the Japanese and dragged into a worldwide struggle for power unlike anything ever seen on Earth. While the United States and the Navy reel from the devastation of Pearl Harbor, the Nazis begin a brutal campaign within sight of the shores of the nation. U-boats prowl the American coast from Maine to the Gulf of Mexico, sinking, shipping seemingly unopposed. Now, one young and untested captain is given an experimental new submarine and sent on a top-secret mission. The German Operation Drumbeat is well underway, and it's up to Lieutenant Commander Arthur Turner and the crew of the USS Bull Shark to draw a thin blue line. Don't you love that name, Bull Shark? I just love that.
That is interesting, and frankly, I wouldn't have wanted to have been on the submarine doing that at the moment.
But, well, actually, Colonel, I don't think I'd want to be on a submarine. Why do you think I joined the Marines?
Exactly.
The Navy would have taken me, but I don't know, the whole ocean thing, sharks. Maybe I'm a bit of a wuss in that regard. Colonel, don't say anything.
Yeah. But, I'm trying to hold my tongue.
I know. It's an open door, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that said, that part of our country's history needs to be understood and appreciated. And that kind of thing did happen. So this is a historical novel. This is not making up stuff because everything you're saying happened.
We're talking border security here. This one's just in time of war. If you can't secure your border, you don't have a country. But, yeah. You know, one of the things that I really liked about this is the attention to detail. You know, I'm reading through this book, and the main character is a submariner captain. And the whole time I'm reading this book, I thought, okay, this author, he's been in the Navy, and he was on a submarine. And I managed to get a hold of the author, and I asked him. I said, "Tell me about your military service." He says, "You know, I tried to get into the Navy, but my eyesight wasn't good enough, so I couldn't do it." You know, he's just very good at
research.
So he joined
the Army?
No, no, good one, Gil. he's just been a civilian his whole life, but he's, you know, a military fan and, you know, a civilian, but he's a civilian sailor. He just loves it, but he just taught himself all about submarines, and he did a really good job. It's an awesome book, Colonel.
It sounds like it. And, you know, both you guys have been talking about defending our country. And in one case, the submarine did a pretty good job but they was allowed to and encouraged to.
There's no bull shark there.
But there sure is one dealing with our border.
There sure is.
Thank you.
Well, Colonel, they can get the book at Amazon.com. It's called Operation Snare Drum. Just do a search on that and they should be able to find it.
And what's the author's name?
Scott W. Cook.
All right. That must be a dang good book. I'm going to have to look at it. Skip, thank you. We're good at putting up with each other, aren't we?
We sure are, Colonel.
Well, only because we have to.
Yeah, that's true. Thank you, Gil, for taking the time to join us today. Thank you for your really good insights. You hit the nail on the head. Thank you for your support to our nation. Now, get to work.
Skip. I'll do my best.
Skip, you're back on in a minute. Get to work, bro.
All right.
I'm Colonel Denny Gill. Next up, it's time for our weekly mailbag. Then it's military history time. You reported for duty to Front Lines of Freedom. Stand tall, troops. Let's do some more push-ups. How about 64 this time? I want you Ranger ready. Then stand at ease.
The Iraq War is more than 20 years old, and troops are still on the ground in Iraq. But why?
For too long, lawmakers have sent American troops to Iraq and beyond in support of vague missions that don't tie to a vital national interest.
At Concerned Veterans for America, we're translating our unique experiences as veterans to call for a better foreign policy that makes Americans safer and more prosperous.
Visit CVAfrontlines.com to learn more and join the movement. That's CVAfrontlines.com.
Do you have a story inside you yearning to come out? As a self-published author, you are free to creatively distribute your book online or using your own professional connections. White Feather Press will publish your manuscript and set up online distribution, allowing the author to retain all copyright and distribution rights as well as all profits. Check out White Feather Press at publishyourdream.com. White Feather Press, reaffirming faith in God, family, and country.
I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. This is the final formation for this week on Frontlines of Freedom. Okay, team, it's mailbag time. I welcome comments from you, our listeners. Do send your thoughts to me at Denny@frontlinesoffreedom.com or on Facebook. What's the first comment, Skip?
Well, Colonel, Army vet Harold agrees that the millions of illegals crossing our southern border is a huge problem for our nation. What good is it doing for our nation? Why does anyone want it?
Harold, that's a great question. There is zero benefit to our nation and lots of damage that we even haven't even begun to deal with yet. I don't know your answer.
And Marie, the wife of an Air Force vet, wants to know if anyone is as concerned with housing homeless vets as they are housing illegal aliens.
Great question, Marie. Apparently the answer is that housing neither homeless American veterans nor homeless American citizens are as important as illegal aliens? This is nuts. And now it's time for military history. Take us there, Skip. What's first?
Well, Colonel, on 18 October 1767, Charles Mason and Jeremiah Dixon completed their survey of the boundary between the colonies of Pennsylvania and Maryland, as well as areas that would eventually become the states of Delaware and West Virginia. The Penn and Calvert families had hired Mason and Dixon, English surveyors, to settle their dispute over the boundary between their two proprietary colonies, Pennsylvania and Maryland. The Mason-Dixon line also became the reference point between the North and the South in our Civil War.
It did indeed. And on the 17th of October, 1777, during our Revolutionary War, British general and playwright John Burgoyne surrendered 5,000 British and Hessian troops to American General Horatio Gates at Saratoga, New York.
And on 16 October 1859, abolitionist John Brown led a small group on a raid against an arsenal in Harper's Ferry, Virginia, in an attempt to incite an insurrection and destroy the institution of slavery. Didn't work so well for him either, Colonel.
Nope, but it ultimately got destroyed. And on the 18th of October, 1942, during World War II, Vice Admiral William Halsey replaced Vice Admiral Robert Gormley as Commander South Pacific. The man nicknamed Bull by the press served as a destroyer commander during World War I. Halsey was made a captain at the age of 53, earned his naval aviator's wings, and was promoted to vice admiral in 1940. but it was the bombing of Pearl Harbor that marked his future for him. Halsey had his carrier task force out on maneuvers when Pearl Harbor was attacked, so his was one of the few functioning battle groups left after the destruction of so much of the American fleet, placing him in the position of making unpredictable and aggressive strategic decisions for which he would become renowned.
He was one of my favorites, Colonel. I always studied him.
Indeed.
And on 20 October 1944, during World War II, after advancing island by island across the Pacific Ocean, General Douglas MacArthur waded ashore onto the Philippine island of Leyte, fulfilling his promise to return to the area he was ordered to leave in 1942.
I shall return, that's what he said. And on 16 October 1946, at Nuremberg, Germany, 10 high-ranking Nazi officials were executed by hanging for their crimes against humanity, crimes against peace, and war crimes during World War II.
And on 19 October 1965, during the Vietnam War, North Vietnamese troops launched a major assault on U.S. and South Vietnamese Special Forces camp at Plai Mê in the Central Highlands, 215 miles north of Saigon. During a week of savage fighting, defenders of the besieged outpost, manned by 12 U.S. Green Berets, 400 Montagnard tribesmen, and a handful of South Vietnamese guerrilla specialists, repelled repeated attacks. The tide of the battle turned finally with the arrival of several hundred South Vietnamese reinforcements and numerous Allied airstrikes. With the camp secured, General William Westmoreland, senior U.S. military commander, decided to seize the advantage and send in the 1st Cavalry Division, Air Mobile, to find, fix, and defeat the enemy forces that had threatened Plai Mê. This decision would result in November in the Battle of the Iadrang Valley, the war's bloodiest battle to date. The Vietnamese communists never won a major battle in the entire war. They lost every time. They eventually won the war because the U.S. media started saying they were winning and the protesters in the U.S. hit the streets.
What a bummer. And on 18 October 1989, the Iron Curtain nations of East Germany and Hungary took significant steps towards ending the communist domination of their countries and to replace it with more democratic politics and free market economies. In Hungary, the Communist Party was disbanded on 7 October. This action was followed by the raising of the barbed wire fence that had for years separated Hungary from Austria. The destruction of the fence effectively marked the end of the Berlin Wall as an impediment to travel between East and West Germany, since East Germans could now simply travel to Hungary, enter Austria, and go from there to West Germany. Not surprisingly, the Berlin Wall came down shortly thereafter.
And on 16 October 1991 was a Wednesday afternoon in Killeen, Texas, and George Hennard drove his pickup truck through the plate glass window of Luby's cafeteria and began firing indiscriminately into the crowded restaurant with a semi-automatic pistol. The deranged Hennard killed 22 people and wounded 20, one fatally, before turning the gun on himself. Present in the restaurant was Susanna Gracia, who narrowly escaped being shot, but whose mother and father were killed. Gracia had her own gun with her that day, but had left it locked in her car as required by Texas state law. After recovering, Gracia became a fierce advocate of the right to carry concealed handguns in public places and led a popular movement that resulted in the approval of the Texas Concealed Handgun License Act in 1995. In 1996, she was elected to the Texas House of Representatives and continued to be a vocal proponent of the right to bear arms. You know, when honest citizens are prohibited from bearing arms in a place, then the only people there with guns are the criminals. And if we're lucky, the police. We veterans salute her courage.
We certainly do. And that's military history for today. And now it's time for our self-defense report. Take us there, bro.
All of us here at Front Lines of Freedom believe strongly in your right to keep and bear arms for protection of yourself and your family. All across the country, violent crime is skyrocketing. And now, more than ever, Americans need to stand up and exercise their Second Amendment rights. Now is the time to get trained and ready to handle this growing threat. But if you're not, please look into it and learn what you can do to legally carry a firearm to protect the ones you love. What's the story this week, Colonel?
A retired university dean was found shot to death on her favorite walking trail on Thursday in Carlson, Vermont. She was married to Pulitzer Prize-winning writer Robert Powers. Honoree Fleming, age 77, was discovered on the trail with a gunshot wound to the head. The medical examiner who assessed the injury told the authorities that the matter of death was homicide, according to ABC News. Fleming, who lived in a small community, was reportedly a retired dean of education and a much-loved teacher at Vermont State University Castleton campus. The Vermont authorities have not yet arrested the suspect in the case. It was reported that whoever carried out the attack is still armed and dangerous.
Thanks, Colonel. This heartbreaking story of a woman murdered just days before her 45th wedding anniversary is one that happens all too often. People love to take walks and jogs and bike rides, and it's a good and wholesome thing that all of us should do to keep in shape and to stay happy. But if you're going to walk public trails, there are some things that you can do to make yourself a more difficult target. First, don't let yourself be patterned. Humans are creatures of habit. We like to do the same things the same way at the same time every day. We do it because it makes us feel good. We have our own schedule and we can control it. But if you take walks like this, make sure you mix up your schedule. Don't walk the same trail at the same time every day. Predators like to make plans, and we make it easier for them when we follow the same route and schedule. Second, the victim's son made this statement, quote, "If you can get killed on a bike path in Castleton, Vermont, you can get killed anywhere," unquote. And the son is absolutely correct. Castleton is a small town of only 4,500 people. It's friendly and beautiful, but for some reason, people believe that bad things always happen to other people, and they could never happen in their own little town. But that's not true. Bad things happen everywhere to everyone, so don't let your guard down. Stay alert, not paranoid, just alert. And third, take a friend with you on your walks. This deters lone aggressors of all types. Predators seek out lone prey, especially women, the elderly, and the disabled, because they aren't able to fight back as well. And finally, when you go on your walks, you must go armed. Take your legally owned firearm as well as pepper spray. I know it's inconvenient, but we live in a dangerous world, so please act accordingly. The legally armed lifestyle can be every bit as happy and fulfilling as ignorant bliss. Frontlines of Freedom encourages all responsible citizens to get trained and armed to handle the growing threat, and our sympathies go out to the family of Honoree Fleming.
Well said, Skip. Our movie of the month is The Conscripts and Conscientious Objectors of World War II. You can go to the Frontlines of Freedom website, go to the blog and get the link. You can watch it for free. We're going to review it at the end of the month, and I'd really appreciate getting your comments about it. Send your comments to me at denny@frontlinesoffreedom.com. Next week on Frontlines of Freedom, Jamie Smith from Concerned Veterans for America will join us to discuss some of our nation's challenges. Next, we'll talk with retired Army Colonel Tony Schaefer. Quentin Roberts will, of course, review this weekend's Service Academy football games, and General Chris Petty will present the Battle of the Month. Our book, Frontlines of Freedom, with 19 authors, has the mission of helping all patriotic Americans step up and help our nation return to our traditional values of serving, not being served, of being in shape physically, mentally, and morally, of being proud of our nation. And now it's available in Spanish. You can purchase that book on frontlinesoffreedom.com or Amazon. Please help us get this call to action book into the hands of all Americans.
Thank you, friends, for joining us for Frontlines of Freedom today and every week on this great station. Please check us out on Facebook and add your comments. And if you missed any part of this show, hey, all our shows are available on demand at frontlinesoffreedom.com. We especially thank our military listeners for serving our country with honor and dignity and for keeping us all safe. God bless you and your families as you serve.
I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Thank you, listeners all across America, for joining us in the foxholes on the front lines of freedom. Stand tall, be proud Americans, and join me next week for military and veteran information you will not get anywhere else on the front lines of freedom. Dismissed.